variety spices up your life. Isn't that right? I guess it depends on how much variety, doesn't it? What we wanted to do is tonight, and the girls are going to do the same thing, is we have a couple options. We want to start with one. I'd like you to take out a piece of paper, if you would. I don't want you to put your name on this, okay? We would, in fact, not even use paper, but we felt like probably people would feel a lot more willing to get out on a limb if they don't have to... Oh, Gary, in my bag there is a notebook, and there's a pencil in there, too, and a pen. And in that notebook is about 8 letters. Hand those to Brent, will you? Thanks. Right with your thumb.
Are you guys not planning on taking notes or what?
They all have steel trap mice too, Brent.
Anybody have a spare?
You're looking for a piece of paper in the very back, the very, very back of the whole notebook. There's a tablet. Just a rip a sheet off there.
Anybody else have a spare pen for this?
I'll take
it. Pen or pencil? Anyone have a spare pen or pencil?
Oh. It's on. Okay.
You want a piece of paper, Ryan? I'll trade it to you for
What?
We're going to share.
Well, we'll just take turns. I'll tell you what we want here first. I'd like to know what school you graduated from and what year, and what your grade point was that year. We'd like to know your age, your weight, your eye color. Now, what we would like to do is, one of the things we wanted to do a few times here is be able to get down maybe to some nitty-gritty issues, and sort of like sometimes we do in our care group, only in a larger group. And so, two things. One is, we'd like you to write down on a piece of paper, and we're not going to try to decipher who wrote these. This is just like a big grab bag kind of a thing. What's the toughest thing you face in marriage? Okay? What's the toughest challenge you face in your marital relationship with your wife and your family? So maybe that's two things. One would be with your wife, one would be with your family. What do you want? Well, we're probably going to talk about some of them. So the first thing is just a statement of what's the most challenging thing for you in marriage? Well, I was thinking of doing a series entitled PMS, Post-Marital Stress. You like that one? Oh, well. And then why you think that's so challenging. I mean, why is that so tough for you? So, first, what's the most challenging, the most difficult thing in your marriage and a why, in your estimation? Okay, now if you just listen to me, I got one more thing, and I think you can keep these three things in your brain. The third thing is just any one question, or at the most two, if you could ask any question, particularly related to your family life, your marriage, and your own self as a man, what would it be that we could talk about, that you'd like some advice and you'd like to interact on? Just be totally honest. Wear your feelings on your shirt sleeve. The third thing is, maybe there's been a nagging question in your mind, maybe about life, about your family, your marriage, or as a man, things you have to deal with, and you'd like to talk about it. What would it be? You'd like to find an answer for it, if one exists. Thank you. Maybe if I, you know, turn the lights down a little more, there'd be a little atmosphere in here. That really gets you in the mood, doesn't it? To really express your deepest feelings. Oh, man. When you're done, just to begin passing them in, would you? Or just hand them up to me? Well, the second one relates to the first. Is why is that such a challenge for you? Why is it so difficult? Or why do you think it's so difficult? Anybody else? Thanks, Jerry. Hey. Be generous how to do those things. Toughest issue with marriage, being generous with money, with my wife, buying gifts, etc. Why? Stingy person in the past. Ask any question, what would I ask? As a man-wife team, what are the most important things we should be doing together? When do you know that you are spending too much time outside of the home? Most difficult, creating a positive atmosphere in my home and effectively encouraging my wife. Why is it difficult? Spiritual battle. Take much for granted. I seem to be the source of much of her discouragement. You ever felt that way? Your wife lets you know you seem to be the source of her discouragement. Anyone ever feel that? Yeah. Gee, look at all these guys. Same problems in the room. Say, face the same thing, see? That's the truth. Here's one. Having good, consistent, quiet times with a wife and leading out spiritually and taking time to carry on conversation with her without being in a rush to do something else. Why is it difficult? Probably because I'm not taking the necessary time each day to get encouraged by the Lord. How do you encourage the wife to be more motivated, to be a hard worker around the home, and to take pride in keeping it clean and be excited about having company over? Those are good questions, especially when she's probably exhausted. Toughest challenge in my marriage, to not open my mouth and say something hurtful to my wife, to be able to discern what should and should not be said first and not to have to work out an apology after I have said it. Toughest challenge in family, to have more patience with my wife and kids. I blow up quickly. What do you do when you really have the right to punch someone's lights out and you know that that's not what God wants you to do? Amen. Get a punching bag and lean on it a little bit. My toughest challenge in my marriage is to remember to show my wife tenderness by being more affectionate. I think my problem resolves from not coming from a loving, touching, hugging family. I can't remember to hug and touch, etc., as often as I should and would like to, for me to help her know I love her very much. Anyone else ever feel that? Your wife says that, something like that to you? Just be more affectionate without being sexual. You ever get that kind? Yeah, there we go. We're all, yeah. Okay. Communication. Handling conflicts. My wife seems to pick the hardest times to communicate areas of needed growth. Anyone ever find that to be true? Yes. Yes, like right in the middle of them. Or on the way to church or something. How to help my wife grow in self-esteem and for her to understand how God sees her. Not doing everything my way. Being a family man and taking time for oneself without guilt. A number of people ask that. You ever feel that way? Like you need time to really develop, you know, maybe your own walk with God. Should I really be doing that? Is that neglecting the family? Anyone ever feel that way? Oh, I'm sure we all have to one degree or another. Consistent spiritual leading and guiding. The schedule I work, number of hours, and trying to do things maybe with the church or other people. I don't seem to have time. What should I cut out? Church, family, job, sleep, or should I just go to heaven? I added that last one. I just go to heaven. getting priorities. What's important? Why? I only have so many hours in the day. Let's get those priorities straight. Finding quality times together. Well, a lot of you said that. Feel that? It's hard to find good time together, isn't it? Busy schedule with both husband and wife working. Establishing an effective communication process. That's some good ones. How many of you find you have there's a problem with the communication process sometimes? Anyone feel that way? Yeah, the process gets a little bit difficult, doesn't it? Yeah. Spiritual leadership with both my wife and children. Why? Because there's such a great demand on my time. Do you pray 5 minutes together? What about reading and studying the Word together? Making time for everything. Balancing urgent against important. So much seems urgent, the flesh can't keep up with the schedule. What do you do when you're not sure you're ready to be a dad, but she knows she's ready to be a mom? Don't have sex. Oh, I'm teasing. Everybody ever feel that way? From time to time? Feel like one, or I know some have said that. On the other hand, one's ready to be a dad, the other one doesn't know if they want more children. Wanting to be generous with money, possessions, etc., but mate feels we are too poor and should be saving more. How much should my wife work outside the home or with the responsibilities of a child? I want to have more children, but my wife is hesitant. We have one. How do we practically keep our marriage alive, growing, and improving? The classic questions, aren't they? That everyone has to deal with these things. Dealing with pregnancy. Hormones go crazy, no sex, physical restrictions. I worry about... I hear everyone ever had to deal with that one? That's Lonnie's writing. No, it's too neat to be Lonnie's writing. It's too neat. I worry about my children. Oh, it can't be Lonnie's. Are we giving them enough structure, freedom, discipline, etc.? Do they get enough interaction with other kids their age? Really being confident about how we're doing with our kids. I don't have a standard I can look at on a daily basis. I can't think of an exact question, but could use help in monitoring and managing all that goes on in the family, being on top of what my wife's doing when I'm not around and as much as I would like to be. Being a better manager, I would sum that up as saying. Most challenging thing in marriage, finding time to spend alone with my wife. Why? Kids and work. Three, dealing with wife's bad PMS. So how many found that to be a challenge? Challenge. It's a challenge. You know, I don't know, some of you younger guys, I don't know what your experience is, but when my wife hit 30, to 32, and I don't remember, I can't pinpoint it, the time, something really changed about when her period came around, just before her period. Unlike earlier on in our marriage, it's been an adjustment. Wives, in fact, going to talk about that sometime. I don't think they are tonight, but Brent and Mary and Kathy and I spent the last 2 days up at Cragen's with our families. And we were interacting on some of these kinds of issues. Getting the lines of communication on the same wavelength, knowing what is happening instead of both people just always assuming. Two, the inability to talk about the little things in the rush of the day. Question, how do you let your wife know you are emotional and do care when sometimes she thinks you're not very sensitive to her emotional needs? Anyone ever have that question answered? Yeah, that's a good one. All these guys going, he's rid my mind. Biggest challenge in marriage for me has been learning to think of others first, meaning both children and wife, also thinking about children's needs. Why is it difficult? I guess after so many years of being single and only thinking of myself, then when two other people to think about blew me away. Three, expectations. What each one expects from a day. You both must be in tune with each other and know what the other's thinking about. One, two people coming together who have different life experiences, attitudes, opinions about various things, and being able to agree or defer to one another from that framework. Two, it's so easy to think that the way one has experienced life and growth is the only or best way. This relates to both large and small matters. Question, being able to lead in the family by my example, how do I do that? last one here. I think I didn't read this. Most difficult thing for me is knowing what to do with my time. I like to be busy all the time. I want to divide my time between my wife, my kids, my house maintenance, car upkeep, and other responsibilities. It is sometimes hard to know what to do. In addition, I feel guilty about getting away by myself to read the Word and pray because it leaves my wife with the kids who she has spent all day with or all week with, or she's been at work all day. I think she should get a break also. That's probably the answer to this particular problem. No question at this time. Sound like a question to me. I don't know. And I think I started with this one. Toughest thing in marriage, being able to have enjoyable, fun time. Okay. Boy, didn't it just make you feel better reading those, you know, and knowing, gee, everybody in this room's got about basically the same problem. So what are some of the three things? Let's come up with three things that just about everyone touched on that are time. What to do with our time? Communication. Okay? Leadership. Time, communication, leadership. What else? Any others that come to your mind, stand out?
Priorities.
Giving.
Money.
Finances. Keeping your wife encouraged. Okay, so which one should we start with? Out of especially the first 3 to 4. It's time, communication, priorities, leadership. Seems like a lot of people put down communication to me. Does anybody seem to remember that? Just my imagination. Why don't we talk about communication for a minute? What do you find seems to be some of the biggest problems to communication in your relationship? Let's throw out some things. Kids. All right? They can make, yeah. Dynamics definitely change when you get to about 2 to 4 children or 2 or more. When it's just a little baby who can sleep, it's one thing to have a consistent nap, or you come home and you put them to bed early. Even with 1, it can be challenging, but having been 1 and now 4, it gets more and more challenging. Okay, so kids is a challenge. What's some other things?
Being tired.
Tired. You come home from work and what do you feel like? Shutting down, right? Sleeping. Shutting down. Nobody ruffle me. No, this is not the time to talk. Okay? What are some other things?
Time to do it.
It takes time to do it, right? And so in your situation, especially if you feel crunched for time, I just got no time to talk. Maybe. Or finding the appropriate time to do it. If this guy, the last one, put down. Ooh, easier said than done.
10 o'clock.
That's right. Okay. Well, we'll talk about solutions in a minute. So it's late at night. What are some other ones? Pardon? And what does that mean, Lonnie? What are you saying to us? So getting to talk on a deeper level, you're saying. Right. Are you good at that, Lonnie?
Not very good.
Not very good. Is your wife good at that, Lonnie? Really in dramatic sense, right? With tears or smile or everything, right?
Yeah,
yeah, right. Okay, that's a challenge. I think a challenge for men. I think, let me reword this a little bit, what Lonnie's saying, because what we're talking about is barriers, things that keep us. Kids, time, etc. I think what Lonnie's getting at, sometimes just being a man is challenging. It's challenging. I think this is just sort of a generalization, okay? I'm not pointing out specifics here. I think generally, men just have a much more challenging time trying to express how they feel about something. They aren't like someone mentioned about wavelength. I think men just don't tend to be on that wavelength. And then women tend to be almost exclusively at times on that wavelength, and that makes communication a real challenge. What are some others that come to your mind, if there are any others? May not be.
Communicating, talking about the finances when you realize that maybe something's out of whack with your finances. You know, in the heat of the moment type deal.
Okay. Okay. Or how many of you find, maybe this relates to this a little bit, that you'd like to talk about something, but you know it's a taboo subject because you've touched on it before and it didn't go over real big. So it keeps you from conversation. How many find that, in fact, often? There are issues that really are in your marriage you'd like to interact on, but it's just you've learned effectively that's not one you touch. How many have had that kind of an experience in one way or another? Okay, good. Okay, anyone else? Can anyone else think of a major barrier here, something that we've got time, we've got kids, we've got
being positive. Really.
Yeah, it's easy to get real critical, isn't it, in our communication, and of course that just brings people down. And
I find it really hard to communicate on something that's, you know, bothering them, and do it in a positive way is very, very
Someone, I'm glad you mentioned that. If someone mentioned creating a positive environment in the home, how many find that a real challenge to try to do? Raise your hand. I mean, you know, not only obviously to speak positively, just to create that positive, uplifting environment. It's a challenge, isn't it? For probably a number of reasons. Yes, Gary?
I think a challenge that some of us face are the two working parents.
Yes.
And
yes.
Small children, it's still it's okay. And then all of a sudden, the children get to a certain age where you start looking for more answers in the beginning and feel like this really isn't working real well. And
right.
Trying to take the superwoman, and you know, we're sort of the generation of the superwoman can do it all, have a family, work, be everything.
Right.
But realizing that it really doesn't work.
Right.
Raise a family. So I think I'm sort of in a position right where we're reevaluating everything. We're looking for
right.
new answers, and we just. We want the kids that we were when we were back in the 50s, but we're not going to get them
right.
with what we're doing. So we're really looking for new ways and
right.
not making my wife feel like a failure because she can't be a superwoman.
Really, right.
there aren't super people.
Right. So. That's a real challenge. That's Kathy and I were talking today over the meal because she was getting ready for this thing tonight, and it's just a challenge for her to be spontaneous. So we were talking about some of these things before we got here. And one of the things we came to, I was sharing with her, is that our belief system, all of our actions flow from our belief system. So oftentimes there's things that I found myself doing, and I'll anticipate that others will understand it when I say it, but then I begin to realize I better explain my belief system, which then in turn explains why I take certain actions that I do. That situation, there is a belief system today that's being pressed on us, on our entire society, and especially our wives feel as acutely that they're supposed to do it all. You know, if you compare us to them, for example, and I've told Kathy this before, I just do not have the same kind of, what I liken this to is electricity. Now, I don't understand electricity. What I do understand, though, is my fuse box, all right? There's certain fuses that are 10 amperes. They're in a certain sort of wiring system. Then there's 30 amperes. And then I've got these massive ones that cost $6 a piece for my 220. And they can really take the heat. And what I've learned is my fuse system for kids, like, for example, we go to the mall, all right? I like going with the kids, but adding Micah, then the foursome, and then trying to go out and do some serious shopping, I'm gone in about any more. And they're basically fairly under control, but it's just the questions. And pretty soon, I'll watch Kathy, and I'll watch these other mothers. I was watching a mother during Christmas. She's got two strollers pushing two separate hands, two kids, packed full of gifts. And I said, Kathy, how do you girls do that? You know, my wife would load up all the kids and the baby and go get groceries. Now, I'll take the three. I'll take Celeste, Jesse, and Jeremy. Yeah, little Micah, and my fuse is gone. My wiring's fried by the time I'm there. So for me to think, how did she put him in the cart, push the cart, take all the stuff? And then, of course, now, you know, we don't go to stores that sack your own groceries. You sack those, too. And so all the kids are there. She's sacking all the groceries, loading the car. So you understand what I'm saying? So our wives, then they do that. Then they do stuff at home. And then on top of that, there's this pressure that, well, you're supposed to go out and earn a living, too. Because that's what the women of today does. That's a challenge. And of course, probably another challenge is maybe you're beginning to realize, or you think in your own self, I think she's putting too much on herself, she can't handle it, but she doesn't see it that way. And so there's a pressure, there's definitely. That's a good point. Yes, Jerry.
A lot of times, at least in my life, in the 40s, grew up in the 50s, and my dad was maybe 8 to 40 years ago, successful businessman, but he still did things in the home. He washed the dishes. He did some extra things. But my mom was a nurse, and they both worked. And do some of those chores that are not the male dominant thing, where the guy comes home and sits in front of the TV. So hopefully we're not those kind of men.
Sure.
But taking on some of those roles, and your sons and daughters with that. Last night, my son did the dishes, and oiled all the cabinets. I thought he was sniffing stuff. That's it. Why he did that?
Sure.
And as we mature in our marriages and in our Christianity and in our ages, we have a tendency not to be so cautious of your male masculinity, the macho man that society has pushed on us.
Sure. Sure, I think some of us can definitely have that struggle. I know my family, I grew up, my father was the man and my mother was the woman, and that's all there was to it. My dad never changed a diaper, and never could. I don't. Oh well, no, I really don't. I don't. I'm not of that conviction. Yes, I changed diapers. Oh, I train her well, Jerry. I don't do nothing, man. No, and I guess what affected me, but I know Gary's. I've been with Gary. I've been with his family. Gary's really quite an extraordinary father. He does most of the cooking, in fact, fixes the meals. There's a lot of things he does. I've had to learn. Hey, this is like Jesus said, he'd be the greatest among you, be the servant. So another thing I found. I don't know how you guys fit into this, but let me just say this. I have found that energy-wise, I have about 10 times more energy than my wife. In other words, more. How many of you found that? You can just, there's certain stresses you can handle better. In other words, I don't just mean to pigeonhole here, but when it comes to kids and just that mother nurture stuff, I've noticed my wife's, her energy level and ability for that goes about 100 times past me. But then when I notice when it's life pressure, the phone ringing, it's this to do, got to go to the bank, got to go to groceries, it's kind of like physically her energy is gone, and I'm like, I still got about tons of kilowatts left of it. You know what I'm saying? Anyone else relate to that? So anyway, we get a clear picture that our women are different than we are now. Okay, times of difficulty, kids are a challenge, priorities are a challenge for communication, even the way we communicate. Let's talk now how we solve this problem, because it's a challenge. How many of you feel it's more than just a need, it's a problem, it's something needs to be solved? I do. Go ahead, Joe. Raise your hand. I'll raise my hand. It's more than just a challenge. I think for most of us, it's something that could really transform our marriages if we can get a good handle of consistently doing some things that will, I think, really help. What do you think is one thing that we could do to develop better communication with our mate?
Well,
yes, Joe.
Probably good listening skills.
Good listening skills.
Be able to hear.
Yeah, that's a good point, Joel. What do you find is it? What's the struggle for you to listen?
Well, you have a long day.
Right.
Coming home, and your attention level, you aren't cued in what she's saying. She's doing a lot of things that she wants to know what you're saying. We'll talk about later. I'm tired of
bothering. Right. 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 Right.
You've got to be willing to make that commitment to listen. Thank you.
Right.
You respond.
Right. Let me ask you this question, Joel, and this is for the rest of you think about. Let's just say that when you come home from a long day, as you're coming home, your mindset, you think to yourself, all right, Brent has shared this concept I don't know if we've talked about this exact thing, but how important pre-planning, pre-thinking about things is. All right. So we're going to put a little pre-planning here. You're driving home from work. Let's say you've got, how many have an average of about 10 to 20 minutes to drive home from work? Okay. You're driving home from work, and you're saying to yourself, okay, I am tired, I am exhausted, and et cetera, et cetera. But, little thing goes on in your mind and says, all right, I'm going to be home in about 10 minutes. My wife's either been at work today or been with the children. Her day's been challenging. Like usual, there's probably things on her mind. So, I'm going to surprise her tonight. I'm going to be prepared. Listen, the first thing I'm going to do when I get home is I'm going to, wherever she is, I'm going to sit down in the kitchen or whatever, and I'm going to ask, how was your day? How did things go? I'll make a little observation with you that 10 minutes spent that way will save hours spent in a fight. Now, of course, if you've not done this regularly, there's going to be a lot to get through. Okay? But so often, just what we talked about Sunday, those four principles will change our relationship with our mate in everything we've talked about. Number one, my wife's more important than I am. When I get home tonight, she's the most important person in my life, as well as the children. But the reason I say your wife is because the most important thing we give our children is a dynamic, strong marital relationship. Okay, that means in one sense, okay, understand what I'm saying here, that your relationship with your wife is the most important relationship in the home other than yours with God. Then your children come after that. If you don't have a priority relationship there with our mate, all other relationships will suffer, particularly our children. So let's say we plan, I'm going to take time to talk. Or as Joel put it, I think what oftentimes our wife wants, not all the time, we'll talk about this, is that we listen. What's one of the major challenges to listening?
Not interrupt.
Not get defensive. Because isn't it often true? I have found this, that sometimes my wife, it's amazing the strain she can take, but it's amazing what she can't take when I'm the problem on her mind. Do you know what I mean? And pretty soon, maybe a couple days, things have built up and she goes, well, to be honest, Mark, it's you. I mean, man, you just do this or you do this. And pretty soon you're thinking, okay, so what you do is you pretend you're listening, but you're not is, you tune them out. It just, the pain's too much maybe. The hurt's too much. I'm sick and tired of hearing this. But what would happen when we really listen? When we really, and my wife and I have talked about this, when I say to her, you know, honey, I'm really sorry. I mean, I didn't realize that I was affecting you in that way. What happens when you say something like that?
You're building a bridge.
It sort of deflects all that maybe emotional pent-up anger, doesn't it? Or that frustration. And then it really lets you get to real communication. Because maybe for the first time, your wife's going to believe you. That you really do care, that you really are sensitive. And so I've had to really take this to task and still have to go on this some more is to really listen. Because there's times my first temptation, my first inclination is just pass it off. It's just, well, I just think you're emotional, you're misreading this thing, you're looking for a scapegoat. I mean, there's any number of things a guy could say or feel but not say. So I think Joel hit on something very important, is to learn to really listen. Now, before we get off this, oftentimes doing it right when you get home isn't going to work, or especially getting something heavy. I think we can deal with maybe lighter issues when we first get home. What's another thing I think we could do that would really help the communication process with our mate? Yes, David. Yep.
Cut off all the distractions.
Yep.
And you're face to face, really close at a table, even if it's for 1 hour.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this. How many of you have been out with your wife on a date in the last month? Okay. How many of you have been out with your wife on a date in the last month more than twice? More than three times. Or three times. Well, last month. How many of you have a regular habit of going out once a week with your wife? Okay. Let me just give you a little practical suggestion I've had to learn the hard way. A family really does change things. This relates to our kids. But even if you don't have children, there's something about the normal environment that you're in that somehow seems to inhibit communication. You ever feel that? I don't know. It's sometimes like just a change in environment seems to just draw someone out. I want to encourage you to do exactly what he said. You, of course, to do this, you need a calendar or a planning book. All right? One of the things I would say, I want to tell you about marriage that I've learned, again, the hard way. Marriage is probably more like a business than we want to realize. Gary and I think it was Gary. Yeah, Gary was sharing this with me. We were talking here a couple days ago. He said, you know, I never realized that my mom and dad's marriage took work. They were neat. They got along. I thought it just kind of happened. So then I got married. He's been married 9 years. And I just kind of assumed we our chemistry ought to work together. But it didn't. And then I thought, okay, now what do? I assumed the same thing for a long time in my marriage. Until I began to realize that maybe that's what the Lord means when he says about a pastor that he needs to manage his home. Well, in other words, marriage takes management skills. Management basically means taking the responsibility upon yourself to oversee that the things that need to get done and implementing plans to see that happen. Okay? That means you've got to take maybe a pen and paper or get yourself a little calendar like I see some of you have here. Just any, you get a cheapy one or expensive one, just get one. And then plan a date with your wife. Now, these can be expensive or inexpensive. It's really up to you. I would use variety. But the most important thing is to get one going. Then, if your wife doesn't have the time, oftentimes I'm the one who's responsible to find the sitter. I just take it upon myself. My wife's often got a lot of other things in her mind. I know a number of people I can call, and I start through the list. And I'll just ask someone if they can come over. In fact, recently, I've been going out with my wife twice a week. Two times a week. I have someone who can come over because of our schedule in the morning. So I'll have Suzanne McKay come over on Friday mornings or one morning a week before she has class for a couple hours. Why? One of the reasons is because my wife really likes breakfasts. So she really likes, you know, the pancakes, the kind you get at a Perkins that are really tough to make at home. You know what I mean? The nice omelets. So we'll go out and we'll just talk. And it has enriched our marriage maybe more than any single thing we've done. But it's a must because there are issues maybe you really do want to talk about, but the kids are in the rooms. They're standing right there. And maybe the moments come up and you want to say it, but you're going to, well, Johnny, will you go play over there? And, well, maybe they do and maybe they don't. Or, you know, maybe they play for a while and the next thing you know, you're right at that emotional moment. Mommy, Johnny hit me. And it's ruined. You know, it's just kind of, it doesn't work effectively. So let me really encourage you to. In fact, this is one of the things I wanted to get at tonight. I know Joel and I talked about this recently over lunch, is how important it is that you get alone with your wife. Get away. In fact, another thing I want to try and do is take some weekends with my wife. Gary, again, we were talking the other day. He and I just happened to be talking about a lot of these things lately. He was sharing with me that he and his wife went out to a bed and breakfast place. They got a sitter for the weekend. And they just went out, and he said, man, it was an awesome weekend, in more ways than one. He said, it was just a fantastic weekend. Because, you know, I finally got my wife isolated, and we were alone together, and we could both unwind, and there was a hot tub there, and we unwound together. And we could really enjoy one another's fellowship. For you guys that are more, maybe you think of yourselves more spiritual, then just take the Lord as an example. He regularly got alone with the Father, and he regularly got alone with the men that he was trying to impart his life to. And he listened to their questions no matter how foolish he thought they were and he interacted on them. Get time together. Any other things you feel like are solutions for our communication? Brent, you have... Just a minute, Gary. Do you have some thoughts, Brent?
Not yet.
Okay, Gary?
Well, reevaluate goal setting. I think sometimes it feels good as a couple to have that similar goal. And those goals change. we may think are our goals are not their goals.
Right.
You think you're working for the same thing. So I think talking about it, continually reevaluating the direction you want to go together.
Right. Right. That's very important. How many of you ever felt like you're going one way, your wife's going another, but you thought you really thought everybody understood where you were going? You ever feel that way? Raise your hand. Good. Yeah, I felt that way. That's very important. That's another reason for a weekend or a night. How many of you, let me ask this question, try to be honest, maybe your experience is different than mine, and that's fine. How many of you felt like your courtship days were tighter than your married days? I mean, you had really cool dates, really cool communication. How many of you found that? And then you got married and it seemed like it flipped. You went, did I marry the wrong person? Was I blinded? I mean, what happened? Okay, I want to evaluate a few things with you. Remember what you did when you were dating? Remember what you did when you were out on your dates? Was there anything you didn't talk about? Man, we talked about everything under the sun. And you know what else? Now, not that this is wrong. This is just part of dating and it's part of immaturity. You never would get on their bad side. You worked really hard, didn't you? You worked really hard at communication. Really hard to be sensitive because, you know, maybe you're insensitive. And if I do this often enough, what happens? You break up. She won't marry you. So it's interesting how in the sense of self-interest, we actually acted as though we had the other person's interest in mind. Because we were so careful to say just what was appropriate, to not be too foolish or stupid, and to really listen to what they had to say, even if we thought their opinions were kind of dumb, and from a woman's perspective, we'd never say that. We were so intent on one another. Remember when you go to the restaurant? I remember this. And I tried to do this with Kathy, and almost at 33 and a half, you feel weird doing it, and that is she'd always be holding your hand. You'd just be sitting there. You know what I'm saying, Lonnie? Yeah, Lonnie, you know, you should be sitting there in a purchase or something. You might even have just a cup of coffee, and she's just holding your hands, and you're looking at each other, oblivious to the world, and it's like, you know, who cares if people think you're weird? We were out the other day, and this has been about 3 weeks ago, and we went to Fridays, and my wife was really shy. This is another thing, guys. Usually a date won't work effectively when your wife's shy. But that is unless you change your expectations. And what I wanted to do with Kathy, I told her, I could tell she was shot. Let me just make this point. Sometimes what we'll do is take a wife on a date with the hopes we'll have some great sex when we get back. I think you really need to reevaluate your expectations based on the moment, based on what the needs are. So anyway, I wanted to take Kathy out just to be alone with her. I think just before 1990 started. And just to maybe go over a few things from the year that I was really thankful about. And I had thought through some things in my mind. So we went out to Fridays, and Kathy was just beat. She barely kept her eyes open, but she really wanted to go just be alone. So we were sitting there, and I was just holding her hand. I thought, you know, this is kind of weird. I mean, I really like holding her hand, but you feel like this is what 17-year-olds do. This is what I did when I was 20. And I thought, no, this is what I ought to be doing. I'm proud of it. This is my woman. This is my wife. So I was holding her hand, and I was just saying, you know, I just thought we could just, you know, chat about what neat things happened to us in 1989. And so that's what we did. And then I thought it would be kind of nice for us, because usually, Kathy, we haven't done this. I haven't done this with you. Is talk about, quite frankly, this has been the most stressful year of our life. The 1989 has had some unique challenges that have made it very, very challenging for us. And we talked about those. We spent about an hour together. It gave us a really fresh perspective on the year and on the future. And we went home and I put her to bed. And then I took Micah, and it was a wonderful time. So I think it takes those kind of things, guys, to make memories with our mate, to make our relationship work. One other thing, then we should probably close here, that I just want to mention to you that's very important is the way you communicate. Okay? You need to have a place of communication. You need to go somewhere special. But we need to really think through how we communicate. I guess... For me, I've had to learn how, Gary and I were chatting about this the other day, I can tend to be like a giant flood. I have all this well of water stored up in whatever it might be, enthusiasms about this. In fact, oftentimes with my wife, we'll be in the living room. And we have learned to talk a little bit at home, although mostly then I talk about dreams or ideas or things I'm learning. We'll start out, she'll be over in the Lazy Boy with Micah, trying to entertain Micah. And I started this conversation because one of the things I've had to work on is to learn to share my dreams with Kathy, to make her a part of this man. That's a little bit hard. You find that challenging to do? That's not easy to do, is it? I mean, to really let her know your visions, your dreams, and what you're hoping for in the future. I don't know, sometimes we just expect our wife to know all that, to be with us. So the other day, it just happened to be some things out of Solomon, or out of Solomon's life, that really struck me. Next thing I know, I'm standing up pacing the floor. I'm just, and I just, can you believe this? Can you understand this, Kathy? And I'm about this farmer. Do you understand this? And she just at this moment, she had been looking at Micah, you know. I said, Kathy, are you listening to me? And she goes, Mark, I'm listening. I just had to pay attention to Micah. So I go, okay, what did I just say? And so she just tell me what I just said. Okay, I believe you. I've had to learn that, especially when it's Micah in the room and I'm getting into one of those modes, that she's not always going to have eye contact with me. But another thing I've learned is that that's not always the most effective way to communicate. You know, is I'm pacing the floor here in a conversation. But I really do get into certain things. You know, visions or things that are going on, and my whole body gets into them, you know. So Gary and I was telling him, I liken it to learning to put, water's most useful when it's under pressure and controlled. You can strip mine with it. You could under the right pressure, you could just flatten these bricks. You could cut a hole right through the wall. You can do, it's an effective tool, it's like sandblasting. If I come up and you can do these beautiful artwork with sandblasting. If I just come up and dump a dump truck on a board, it's not going to do nothing to the board. But if I put it under pressure, and I have the ability and the creative skills in a way that makes knowledge attractive to my wife. The same way I've thought about on Sunday mornings. I've had to learn to apply that to my wife. Just because Mark's saying it doesn't mean it's beautiful. Or just because it's true wisdom, knowledge doesn't mean it's beautiful. I have to work to make it beautiful. I have to work to make it meet her need, to tailor fit it to the moment. And also I've had to learn not to be defensive. To not always think my opinion's the only one, the way I'm viewing it's right. And I think, guys, it's very easy for us to just kind of go full bore ahead and have our own perspective on what's going on. But one of the challenges I think you guys face more than me, and I finally think I'm coming to grips with this, I begin to realize, and I don't mean, this is nothing to be proud of, okay? I don't mean this as a boast, it's not a boast. I have realized I am a weird guy. I am not a normal guy. What I mean by that is I tend to be more emotional than most men do. And I think sometimes men have sort of compared, because maybe I'm in a position, they compare themselves, and their wife may compare themselves, and say, well, why aren't you like Mark? Well, believe me, if they had all the rest that goes along with Mark, they'd be going, man, why can't Mark be like you? Calm, stable, you know, and just real steady, okay? And I really genuinely mean that. So I'm finding now I really am in probably the 10 to 20% that is about center-brained. Left brain, half male, half female, if you know what I mean. I don't mean hormonally or anything like that, okay? I just mean emotionally. Emotionally, I can see my mother's real tenderness. It's very easy for me to get emotional or even cry. And there's some issues especially that are very tender for me. And so I don't think it's right to make the comparison. I think most men, it's very challenging to try to express yourself emotionally. And so you just simply have to work at it. Maybe learn to put things and describe them as how you're feeling. Learn to use that word. Well, lately I've been feeling. You know, learn to put words to your emotions. Women do that so much easier than men. It blows my mind. My little daughters already do that. My little daughter, Jessica, will sit on a chair with a play phone for 30 minutes and have an ongoing, meaningful conversation with nobody. And she's 5. And it blows my mind. My daughters, and I have 2 and 2, so I see all this. My daughters will sit, when they sit on the potty to go potty, they'll sing. And they'll talk to a friend. Jeremy's back there, bam! You know, dropping Ninja Turtles in the sink in the water while he's going to the bathroom. That's just a difference between men and women. So they've learned very young how to put their feelings into words. And we don't usually deal with one another on those terms. But it can be learned. It may not always come naturally. But I think even if we ask our wife to help us, say, how can I express, what can I do? And this is, I'll end on this. Ask your wife, what can I do to be a better husband, to be a better father? That will help get some communication. How could I more effectively communicate with you? And then listen, and then try it. Then try it. And just keep, as Gary said, go back and evaluate. Friend, do you have any thoughts, brother, at all?
Okay.
We can go on. Any other last questions here or comments? Okay. Good. I hope you guys kind of like this. It's okay to do. We'll do this next time we get together on some of these other things. I think this is really helpful because one of the most encouraging things is to realize we're comrades in the same battle of trying to develop a creative marriage. There's no one in this room who's arrived. We're all striving at it together, and some of us maybe have been through things that others are going through, and others are going through things that we're going to go through. But we can help one another, and that's kind of what we want to do. But,
I have a question for you guys real quick.
In other words, I mean, well, I'm not. Or maybe it's just learning to say, well, how I'm feeling is just kind of there. You know, I'm not discouraged. And it's like Brent or others I've heard say, well, I got nothing to write home to Mom about. I'm just happy to be married to you. And you know...
Well, we might want to talk about that.
Yeah, well, that's a good question.
What society does to guys, too. Think back in high school when guys are thinking about trying to be guys. You know, hey, don't cry, man.
Sure. Yeah, and well, let me say this in closing. You think about this week. This is a belief system I have. It could be wrong, but you think about it. I believe every human being is created with emotions. You just have to learn how to unlock them. Okay? I believe because it's part of the vibrant human experience that God has created us. It's kind of like having all the senses. Okay, I don't believe necessarily, now this could be true, that someone's born emotionless like some people are born blind. God has given us the ability to experience all things, but certainly temperament combination, personality combination, and then the way we were brought up is going to affect those kind of things. I do believe it's possible, and we can get into these things next time, to learn to begin to release feelings. Like maybe in your situation, David, you're saying... Well, guys just don't cry. And so what we do is maybe if we were willing, if we could admit it, I want to cry, but you squelch it. You've gotten so used to pushing it down, you just are totally in control. I'm not going to cry. You know, and so it can be the same with other things. And there are certain emotions that are, praise God for you guys, you don't have any trouble showing. That's great. You know, it's good not to... blow up and throw things against the wall. You know, there's certain emotions that can be very detrimental. But anyway, that's a very good question. Let's just close in prayer. Brent, you want to close in a word of prayer, brother?